Welcome to The Watchman. Get ready for awakening teachings on the end times, Bible prophecy, and on the times and seasons in which we live. The King is coming.
Good evening and welcome to The Watchman radio broadcast today as we continue to enlighten you about some of the important things that are happening, both from the perspective of the world and as well as from the perspective of the church. And how they relate, of course. Now, currently, of course, every January in the Swiss city of Davos, the World Economic Forum meets, and there are the people who are discussing some of the things that they want to see the world look like. The World Economic Forum has been previously the basis of almost world planning of world events and so on. And it's looking very, very, very ominous this time because for a number of reasons. First of all, I will tell you this as well, background, that in January 2016,
yes,
they sat and one of the major, major items on their agenda was U.S. elections.
Yes.
And it was clear from what came out of there that they did not want Trump to win that election in 2016.
Yes.
Of course, Hillary Clinton was the one who was anointed as the president of America. But things turned around for them because they came out, they demonized him, they used all their media channels, which is almost everything,
yes,
to tear him to pieces, to demonize him, to call him all sorts of names and so on, and try to turn the public's opinion about him, but it didn't work.
Yes.
And he won that election.
Yes.
Now, of course, they continued planning of how to get rid of him, and eventually did. Now, the tone this time is a bit different because they seem to be working around what seems like the inevitability,
yes,
of Trump becoming president again in 2024.
Yes.
And that doesn't mean they are not fighting. They are fighting, and there's, yes, a lot of things they are doing because I know that they are trying to bring in Michelle Obama.
Yes.
And Biden will go get some delegates from the, you know, first of all, the Democratic thing has been very, very autocratic.
Yes.
Because they've chased out any person who would be interested in challenging Biden in the primaries. So that now he seems to be alone, and now he will go to get there. Then just about when he's finished doing all that work, then it's probable, and now this is so many new, even media is saying it right now, that then he say he pleads the, what in America they call the 25th, where you give up the presidency because you are not in a medical condition,
yes,
to carry on with it.
Mm.
And then it looks like Michelle Obama is the person who is waiting in the wings, because they are counting on regaining the black vote, as we said before, and the woman vote.
Yes.
And then maybe they can build on that,
yes,
and cheat on that.
Yes.
So that seems to be the plan. But the point is, the World Economic Forum right now is taking place in Davos, Switzerland. And this one, unlike the rest, has not had the same bullish, almost cocky pronouncements made by those people there. Previously, they were talking very big like they own the world.
Yes.
In the last 2 years, they were actually talking like they own the world. There's that Jewish guy called
Yuval Harari.
Harari.
Yes.
The man, the guy was talking like the world is in his palms.
Yes.
And so on, and, you know, mocking every idea of God and even of the people.
Yes.
Saying that when they bring AI, people will be useless, and they will decide what to do with them because they will be useless. Everything,
yes,
we need can be done by robots and so on.
Yes.
And that's that, and he has been talking all that.
Mm.
But now he's a bit subdued. You,
yes,
can see that, okay, he's still talking the same language, but not with as much cockiness as he did before. And even this forum started with Klaus Schwab, who is the head of the whole group, saying that, you know, we need to rebuild trust,
yes,
because people have lost trust in us.
Yes.
We never did have trust in them, but we didn't, for the most part, a lot of the majority of the people didn't know how wicked they are.
Yes.
Until when the whole COVID thing came and they started pronouncing what they have in store for everybody. Then people understood these guys are the depth of wicked. They are the cabinet of the devil,
yes,
in this world.
Mm.
Now, everybody started running away. Previously, the World Economic Forum was a subject of prophecy teachers. You know, there is this
only.
World economy. But now everybody knows them to be evil.
Yes.
Now even presidents have been going there and absolutely excoriating them.
Yes.
Like the new president, Javier Milei, the guy of Argentina, went there and blasted them to their faces. I told them, you know, basically his speech was just went there to mock them.
Yes.
And there's been other people who have gone there to mock them. And it's being downgraded right now.
Yes.
And I don't want us to lose sight of the fact that the reason this is happening is because God has actually stepped in.
Yes.
And the spirituality which they were using has been absolutely shattered. Now they are walking just on the natural things. But you know, when somebody who has come and is attacking, and the attack is spiritual, and he has been defeated in the spirit, they continue fighting in the flesh. But they are very weak and they are very uncertain.
Yes.
They are, you know, and that's what I'm seeing there, because there's a lot of uncertainty of what is happening.
Yes.
And, you know, people giving speeches, but low-key, not giving pronouncements.
Yeah.
We are going to, you know, put you all in 15-minute cities and what, as previous there was.
Actually, one of their major tone which they have been using this very, this year's summit, is now ideas. They have gone into ideas where they're saying, how can we now do it? Because they have seen a setback. And the whole theme of the thing of rebuilding trust, you can actually really see that there's a space which they have lost.
Yes.
And I remember there's a story which came about, I think, last year's Davos meeting summit, whereby all of them, there was actually a certain journalist who was arrested. And sad enough, someone got that clip where he was being arrested, because that journalist actually was not even part of the meeting, but he was just reporting against the meeting. So he was arrested. But now this year, what happened is they said that they spoke to them and said no one is going to be arrested, because actually they had deployed police that very last year. But this year they said, no, we are keeping things calm. Nothing like that will happen again this year. So you see that there's a space which they have lost. And even actually the whole general, because everywhere you see, like the media, people are reporting that, what are we going to expect of these people? Like, you know, they wanted all of their time, they wanted their meeting to be
public on their terms.
Yes.
Not public.
Yes.
You know, like where you have a private meeting, then you call the media in to see certain things.
Yes, yes.
Then you tell them, go out now. We don't no longer need you. Yes. That sort of thing. They want it to be something that is in people's consciousness. There is a Davos meeting and so on.
Yes.
But on their terms.
Terms, yes.
And not on the terms of the media or any, or especially independent media.
Yes. So that was what they wanted. But right now, in like this year's, everywhere people were on social media, on different forums, they were focused on that, and actually people were actually looking at what are these guys going to discuss. But like what you said, that there's something they have lost in the spirit, whereby God has actually stepped in. And that's actually what we've seen, that there have been subjects which they have been speaking about, of course, which we know that they will not stop talking, or they will not even stop planning for what they want. But the tone which they are speaking with, it's totally different. It's now low-key.
The confidence has gone.
Yes.
And that's because when people, you know, if you do things in the spirit, and whichever direction of the spirit, the side of light or the side of darkness, and you lose a space there, people can see that you're not confident whatsoever. Even like, let's say even if you are like a man of God who walked in the power of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And that goes. You can continue with your church and what, but your confidence has gone, because there's a confidence that thing gives you that you cannot have without it. So now you can sense that these people, that the spaces they were trying to occupy, it seems they have realized those spaces have been occupied by, you know, by the power of light.
Yes.
So now they are going slowly. But that, the things they are planning, that doesn't mean they are not planning. The things they are planning are, first of all, there is the issue of that World Health Organization treaty.
Yes.
Pandemic Preparedness Treaty.
Yes, yes.
Which they want to force countries to sign and almost give up part of their sovereignty when apparently there is a pandemic.
Yes.
So that, let's say, because when there was COVID, which they called the pandemic, those people had to deal with the local government.
Yes.
For instance, they had to come to Uganda, convince the president,
yes,
lock down and so on. But not every president bought into that rubbish.
Mm.
Ours bought completely into the rubbish and even exceeded the people who sold it to him.
Yes.
But now others like Magufuli refused, yes, I think, and yes, said, no, we are not going down that direction.
Mm.
And so every country had a decision on its, yes, own, depending on who the leader was.
Yes.
But now what they want to do is, since all of these countries are signatories to the World Health Organization Treaty,
yes,
they want to take that away from them.
Yes.
So that they say now, if there is a pandemic, we are not asking for your permission.
Yes.
You're compelled by the fact that you're signatory to this treaty to go ahead and do what we are telling you to do.
Yes.
And they had planned it immediately after the COVID thing, but actually it was African countries that spearheaded the refusal, and they said, we are not going to do that.
Yes.
And the West actually had accepted it. But African countries somehow said, no, we are not going down that road, and we are keeping our, you know, sovereignty,
yes,
even in pandemics and so on. So they kind of stored it.
Yes.
Now they are trying to bring it back in May of this year.
Yes.
But this time it is Eastern European countries,
yes,
Bulgaria, Romania, and
yes,
so on,
mm,
which say that they have lived under tyrannies before,
mm,
communist tyrannies like the one which these people are trying to reintroduce.
Yes.
And the people say, we are not going back down that road,
mm,
because those are people who lived during the communist era.
Yes.
And they saw the tyranny of, you know, that, yes, sort of thing,
mm,
where apparently you have no choice when it comes to public good.
Yes.
Eh? Now, of course, the typical, you know, capitalistic, you know, freedom of art,
yes,
everybody is in, there's an individualism.
Yes.
You decide what is good for you.
For you.
Yes. And now it is up to the government to convince the masses individually that what they are doing is good for them.
Yes.
But now once the government decides, what they are trying to introduce is, once the government decides at the top that this is good for you.
For you.
Then you must do it, whether you believe, yes, it's good for you or,
yes,
not.
Mm.
In other words, they take away your opinion.
Yes.
And everything that tries to take away the individual opinion is of the devil.
Yes.
Because one of the majorest things God gave, of course, that word doesn't exist, but one of the major things God gave man is the power to choose.
Yes.
Right. Choose knowing very well that at some stage, at the end of your life,
yes,
you will have to account to God for the decisions you made. That's why he does not interfere in your decisions, apart,
yes,
from advising,
apart and showing from, you,
and showing you,
yes,
and leading you.
Mm.
But the ultimate decision is yours.
Yes.
He will never violate that.
Mm.
Now, the devil does not believe in that,
mm,
because he's not going to be judging people at the end of the day.
Yes.
The devil believes in taking away your choice,
mm,
and actually making you serve him.
Mm.
And he would use organizations, government, you know, people like that.
Yes.
And they kind of come and take away all your decisions.
Yes.
So now that is some of the things they are planning in May. So they are planning that thing in May.
May, yes.
But even the World Health Organization now are no longer talking with a lot of confidence,
yes,
like they were before. Mm. I don't think that will pass.
Mm.
I actually believe it will not.
Mm.
And that's some of the planning they are doing.
What actually, in the Davos meeting, what actually drove to the point of the pandemic treaty, it was the disease which they were speaking about, which was, they called it disease X.
Yeah.
And they said that because they brought the whole panel of, which included even the Dr. Tedros, which is chief
the
of
World Health Organization boss.
Yes. And also plus other health people who are in that sector of health. So they began questioning them, and they began discussing about the disease X. And of course, Dr. Tedros began saying that disease X is it's not a disease itself, but it's something that is an unknown disease which we should prepare for it. Now, in their measures for preparedness, for preparation for disease X, that's when they said that now, we might have a disease that can have a pathogen that can spread even beyond what we have known, like the one we have seen in COVID.
Mm.
So they said, now, this time we have to make sure that we prepare for such a disease that can be a pandemic.
Mm.
And in one of their, of course, they talked about that one of the preparedness which we have to bring in is that the treaty, which they had already started to draft.
Working on.
Yes, worked on some time ago.
Mm.
So they have been, they are speaking about that. And we know that, they, of course, being that we've been following this end-time depopulation agenda, we know that their plan is for massive reduction of population in of the whole world. So that's their major plan, and that's what they really want. And one of the ways they are going to bring it is through diseases, like even in previous messages, which you've taught us. So because from last year, the disease X thing, they kind of played it cool. But from last year, I think September, October, that's when actually they started bringing out that name, Disease X. And it was something which started spread around in social media, and people were asking themselves, why, what could this be? And now, of course, they are trying to clarify that it can be a disease that can spread around. And we know they want to bring it, but they had to discuss it and how they can actually prepare for it. And they spoke of things like we have to put in labor force, we have to put in enough, see how we can supply enough, like, okay, even creating vaccines faster and all that, which all answers their depopulation agenda.
Yes, because first of all, it's been a bit described by a few people. Mm. It's still also going to come out of China.
Yes.
I want you to know that these are pathologies which are manufactured.
Yes.
Manufactured in the lab.
Lab.
With the purpose of spreading them,
yes.
With the purpose of vaccinating people,
yes.
With the purpose of depopulation,
yes.
And ultimately with the purpose of control,
yes.
Over nations,
mm.
Which is what the devil wants,
yes.
And his servants.
Yes.
So it's still going to come out of China,
yes.
Like the other one did.
Mm.
We know that the research, what you call gain of function research,
yes.
Was sponsored by America,
yes.
National Institute of Health,
yes.
Through Dr. Anthony Fauci.
Yes.
And they had been working on it for much earlier.
Yes.
From, I think, about 2012,
yes.
Or something like that. Mm. And Dr. Anthony Fauci even predicted in 2017 that there's going to be a major pandemic before the end of Donald Trump's presidency.
Mm.
So he's either a prophet or he's the one who planned
knows,
it.
Yes.
Of course, we know he's the one who planned it. So now they are predicting diseases.
Yes.
This time they say the fatality is going to be much, much higher.
20 times higher than COVID.
Yes, because the COVID fatality was so small.
Mm.
And people... But now, in order to get people's attention, they will try to make sure that it kills more people than COVID did.
Yes.
That's if COVID killed any good number of people whatsoever, apart from people who are very old, advanced in age.
Mm.
So this is the plan for it.
Yes.
But the ultimate plan is now, I was reading even the news that Bill Gates is already preparing 7 new vaccines for disease X.
Yes.
Before even they apparently know about it.
Mm.
So now the idea is sickness, vaccine.
Yes.
And vaccine takes away your natural immunity.
Yes.
And your natural immunity goes, means that you end up dying of something else, even if it's not disease X.
Mm.
Now, I don't know how more to warn our people.
Mm.
But now Uganda is even already releasing the malaria vaccine.
Yes.
It's about to release the malaria vaccine.
Mm.
I saw a story in New Vision covering in full how, you know, the malaria vaccine has been released in Cameroon.
Yes.
And I know there is a reason why what happens in Cameroon only makes news here when they are planning to do it here, otherwise you wouldn't know.
Mm.
But I'm still issuing a very, very stark warning to everybody.
Mm.
Do not take that malaria vaccine.
Yes.
Do not let your children take that malaria vaccine.
Mm.
It is deadly. I got research from people who are big researchers and read some of it, which is simplified in a language for everybody.
Mm.
I did a YouTube video about it, and I even quoted the people I was researching. These are top epidemiologists.
Yes.
And they are saying the same thing, that it has been rushed,
yes.
It is deadly.
Mm.
As many as 24% of the people who take it will die of it.
Yes.
Yeah. But that doesn't mean they will just die of it.
Mm.
The other things they will die of because of taking that thing.
Mm.
But the 24% will die of it, direct death from it, according to one researcher from the University of Southern Denmark.
Mm.
And those who don't die of it are going to have high risks of things like meningitis,
yes.
Of seizures,
yes.
And of so many other such things, high fevers and so on.
Mm.
So the malaria vaccine is somebody saving you from an arrow and pointing you in the direction of a bullet.
Yes.
That's what it is.
Mm.
And it might not even save you from the arrow, by the way.
Yes.
So it's going to create a much bigger problem than it is purported to be solving.
Yes.
Please take that from me.
Mm.
And just don't do it.
Yes.
Just do not do. Protect your children.
Yes.
Or your grandchildren.
Mm.
Just do it. I know malaria is a killer, but I also know we have grown up through malaria and we are
and
here.
And there are other.
And then there are other solutions. Yes. There are mosquito nets. Yes. There is treatment and so on. The ways we've survived up to this stage.
Mm.
So please be very, very careful.
Mm.
But now, even as you're preparing for that, there are 7 other vaccines which Bill Gates is planning to come and push into your skin.
Yes.
By the time he's through with that, you'll be a robot.
Actually, speaking about that, I got a statement from Bill Gates which says that he explains how AI will change our lives in 5 years. Now, in this same Davos meeting, which it has been going on, much of the talk has been still about this disease X. It has been how they can utilize the power of AI in creating vaccines. So if you say Bill Gates is bringing 7 more vaccines, and the man himself says that AI will change our lives. And of course, you know, he's not speaking of how it's going to change our life in the positive way or in the way we think, but it's in the way he thinks, which of course is bringing in the vaccines, which he thought for. Of course, the way when they come in, they bring out vaccine as if it's very, very good. Of course, but this has a lot more ingredients that we have uncovered here, that they have things that have side effects. They bring in side effects. Of course, not all of them, but now mostly these ones which they're bringing with the technology which they are introducing in, like the mRNA, which actually changes our DNA and inputs in things which causes a lot of weaknesses to our bodies.
Yeah.
Yes.
So this really is how it's happening. Because, you know, so many people, we grew up knowing that vaccines are a very positive thing. And they are the way that sicknesses such as polio, diphtheria, and what, whooping cough, were eradicated.
Yes.
And all of that is true.
Yes.
But at some stage, the world became very wicked, being run by wicked people.
Yes.
There was a meeting somewhere at the Club of Rome in the early 90s.
Yes.
And they said the best way to sail these very dangerous substances into people's bodies, while the people are trusting that it is for their own good, is to use the word vaccines. So some of these are not the, when you talk of vaccines and these people say, are you anti-vaxxer? What? Vaccines took away polio and what? They did, but those were vaccines.
Yes.
These ones are not vaccines.
Yes.
These ones, they are just using the name
to
push something very sinister through.
Yes.
For instance, and you ask yourself why, when people took the vaccines for some of those sicknesses, there was a 99.something% chance that they would never get those sicknesses.
Yes.
Because they are taking the vaccine.
Yes.
Because those were true vaccines.
Yes.
Now enter the modern ones. They will tell you, go and take the COVID vaccine, but still social distance, wash your hands, or do what? So all the things somebody is not vaccinated has to do, somebody who is vaccinated has to. Then you ask them, what's the purpose of the vaccine? Okay? So now this is the thing. Now, when the COVID thing didn't take off in Africa, and I'm telling you this, they decided what disease is unique for Africa, which Africans will be more likely to believe that they need a vaccine. And of course, malaria is one of them.
Yes.
So they've gone for that. But it is very sinister. And you're going to see all these campaigns from our ministry. Oh, go and get this thing and what. They are being paid.
Yes.
They don't care about the lives of your children. They don't. They are being paid. I'm telling you. I'm telling you that we are saying this because we know what is coming. But let's leave that for now, because I've spoken about it a lot and I'm still going to speak about it.
Yes.
And so there are two things that Davos are planning to sort of make a comeback. Because people have dismissed them so much, even so many of the heads of state have gone there and have blasted them. So there are a number of things they are planning to come back, as we mentioned, both of them. One of them is that pandemic treaty in which people are compelled once they sign the treaty. And there will be a lot of sweeteners. Now, you see, imagine a country like ours, they will just come and give a few, you know, some little money to the president and then they will sign. Now, That's one of the ways they hope they will come back.
Yes.
The other is disease X, which is apparently going to be another pandemic.
Yes.
Which they are planning, which they are just waiting for the right time to unleash.
Yes.
Now they are not even pretending about that.
Mm. Yeah.
They are giving their prophecies ahead of time.
Yes.
Prophecies, of course, I'm saying in quotes.
Yes.
Ahead of time, telling you there is a disease X which is coming and so on.
Yes.
But that's the bad news.
Yes.
But there is the good news. The good news is that they are not going to succeed.
Yes.
They are not going to succeed. Because you see, and I've told you this before, Jesus Christ is coming for a church that is at the top.
Yes.
At the very, very top. When the rapture happens, the world is going to be left in disarray because the people who will have been raptured will be important people.
Yes.
There will be presidents, prime ministers, top people in health, in every sector, top businessmen and so on who will have been raptured.
Yes.
And they will leave the place in disarray.
Yes.
And that is what is, going to happen at the rapture. And remember when Peter called his fellow fishermen to come and get fish after Jesus had told him to cast the net on the,
the right side.
On the right side. And then they got a lot of fish.
Yes.
And the boats were sinking.
Yes.
And they had a very good problem to solve.
Yes.
You know, Peter didn't touch that fish because immediately afterwards, Jesus told him that, now follow me.
Yes.
And I will make you fishers of men.
Yes.
Now, when the rapture happens, the church is going to be at the very top.
Yes.
The scripture says that in Isaiah chapter 2.
Yes.
Or even let's read it from Micah chapter 5. It's the same scripture, Micah chapter 4. It's the same passage of scripture.
Yes.
And it's not quoting the other one.
Yes.
What does it say?
It says, Micah chapter 4, verse 1. Now it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and peoples shall flow to it.
First of all, let's get this. The mountain means like as if the government.
Yes.
Of the Lord's house.
Yes.
And then also in Isaiah, when it's talking about the Messiah, it's talking about Jesus. It says the government shall be on his shoulders.
Yes.
So now the idea that we are just supposed to stay in church and leave governance to the people of the world was a seed planted by the devil.
Yes.
That those were tares.
Yes.
Because throughout the scripture, God has been interested in what?
Governance, mountains.
Mountains. He has been interested in mountains.
Yes.
And even penetrating the mountain.
Yes.
Where they existed.
Yes.
For instance, Daniel comes from as a captive from Judah.
Yes.
And is taken to Babylon.
Babylon.
And is taken right at the core of the king of Babylon.
Yes.
Now, that was a plot by God to take over the kingdom of Babylon from within, you see.
Yes.
And then now, as soon as Daniel has finished his lessons and so on, and he has given him some time, then now God starts setting up things to cause a coup within Babylon.
Yes.
Not to run away from Babylon, to cause a coup within Babylon. So he starts with a dream. Which nobody can interpret except Daniel.
Yes.
The next thing, Daniel is now on top. Then Daniel is on top. I'll summarize it for you this way. Long after Nebuchadnezzar died, and Darius was the king of the Medes.
Yes.
And Cyrus.
Yes.
Was the king of Persia.
Yes.
And those two kingdoms were almost like sister kingdoms. Now Daniel was an old man.
Yes.
And Darius, who respected him so much after the den of lions, after the den of lions, Darius feared Daniel.
Yes.
Because he could not believe there's somebody whose God can do that.
Yes.
So you remember even in the scripture, it says that Darius issued an order and said, if anybody says anything about the God of Daniel, they will be destroyed and their families.
Yes.
Because he had a lot of fear. Now, Daniel remained and prospered in the kingdom of Darius.
Yes.
And was actually like almost an advisor to the king.
Yes.
And all those people played a part in Israel being restored.
Yes.
So God entered the Babylonian system. And through his people.
Yes.
Daniel and his friends.
Yes.
He actually caused that system which had conquered Judah to now be the ones to rebuild Judah.
Judah, yes.
Because now, after that, it is Darius who went and met Cyrus. With Daniel.
Yes.
And he told him that here is a man who we put in a den of lions, and the lions could not touch him.
Yes.
Then Daniel told Cyrus, this, what I'm telling you is not in the Bible,
yes,
but it is historical accounts.
Eh? Yes.
So you have an opportunity to believe it or not to believe
yes.
it, because it's not scripture.
Mm.
But Daniel told Cyrus that the first thing he told him as soon as he met him is, do you know that there is a prophecy about you in the Jewish prophecy books?
Mm.
Then Cyrus said, are you sure? He said, and it mentions you by name.
Yes.
Then he showed him Isaiah 45.
Mm.
And he showed him. Now, that was Isaiah 45 is about 200 years before that meeting.
Yes.
Between 160 and 200 years.
Yes.
Before those two people met.
Mm.
So Isaiah had already been there.
Yes.
In the prophecy books.
Yes.
So he told him that, do you know that your name appears in the Jewish prophecy books?
Yes.
Then he told me, show them to me.
Mm.
So he showed him Isaiah 45, which says...
Okay, it says, Isaiah 45 verse 1, thus says the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have held, to subdue nations before him and loose the hammer of kings, to open before him the double doors, so that the gates will not be shut. Should I go ahead? Verse 2. I will go before you and make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of bronze and cut the bars of iron. I will give you the treasures of darkness and hidden riches of sacred places.
You can stop there. So now when Cyrus saw that almost 200 years before he was born, somebody had written by name a prophecy about him. He was in shock.
Yes.
So he asked Daniel, what do I do? Then Daniel said, my God wants you to release the captives of Judah to go back and rebuild their city, Jerusalem,
yes,
and rebuild their temple.
Mm.
And God will prosper you.
Mm.
So Cyrus said, no problem.
Mm.
Now, this is Daniel who came as a captive.
Yes.
But now he's basically taken over. He's talking to the kings of,
yes,
of Media and of Media and Persia.
Yes.
So Cyrus issued the order that the Jews should go back, those who want to go back.
Mm.
And he even got all the treasure which Nebuchadnezzar had gotten from the temple in Jerusalem when he captured it.
Yes.
And gave it back to them. All the gold, benzines, the utensils and what.
Yes. Mm.
And gave it back to them.
Mm.
And...
And even issued
a decree that
nobody,
basically he made it possible for them to go and rebuild.
Yes.
Now, that is God coming from within to take over the kingdom.
Kingdom.
Now, that side of God has never changed.
Yes.
Eh? God still does that a lot.
Yes.
He enters heathen kingdoms and takes them over sometimes from within.
Yes.
I'll give you an example. Paul.
Yes.
Who was captured and they wanted to kill him. You know, I'm sure if you read the Bible, you've read it in the book of Acts of the Apostles. And there was a riot at Ephesus and what and everything. So he was brought into judgment before the governor Felix and King Agrippa. And they wanted to sentence him and so on. Then when there was a lot of confusion, Paul said he's appealing to Caesar.
Yes.
And they had the right as a Roman citizen to appeal to the highest authority in the kingdom, which was the emperor,
yes,
Caesar. So they said, okay, since you've appealed to Caesar, we'll take you to Caesar.
Mm.
But now in the journey, you remember the shipwreck and all the things they suffered. In the journey, the Lord spoke to him twice. First, I think, one through an angel and second, the director, I think, and told him that, do not worry, Paul, you will surely appear before Caesar.
Yes.
Mm. Now, so Paul goes into Rome. Now, the scripture does not say what happened and how he appeared before Caesar and all that. But at the end of the book of Acts of the Apostles, he said for the last 2 years, he rented his own house in Rome and preached the gospel as he wanted. People came to him and, you know, and they would argue, you know, and he preaches to especially the Jews about, you know, about Christ.
Yes.
And he had all his way. But the first thing Paul did when he went to appear before Caesar, is he converted Caesar's household into Christianity.
Yes.
Eh? And at least part of them.
Yes.
And now he entered within. You imagine, like, there's this whole empire fighting you.
Yes.
Then God takes you to the source.
The
house.
Yes.
Of the emperor himself.
Yes.
And then you go there, and then you find that maybe the emperor's son and the emperor's daughter and the emperor's what have all become Christians.
Christians.
Now, how do I know that? Because he says it somewhere.
In Philippians 4, verse 22.
Mm.
He says, okay, let me start from verse 21. Greet every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren who are with me greet you. All the saints greet you, but especially those who are of Caesar's household.
Yes. Now, you see, the saints.
Yes.
So he went there like a prisoner
looking
for justice in chains.
Yes.
But God was sending him there to take over the empire.
Yes.
And by the way, I'll tell you historically, after he stood before Caesar, Christianity started spreading very fast within the Roman Empire.
Yes.
So now, I'm trying to tell you that God has a way of,
From within.
From within.
But taking over.
But taking over.
Yes.
And so we saw it with that. I can give you so many other examples.
There's actually one example which came to mind when you spoke about that.
Mm.
Remember when now Christianity started spreading,
and
then, of course, persecution came all over, like against Christians.
Mm.
And then what the scripture says in the book of Revelation, that you will suffer, talking about the church of Smyrna, the persecuted church, that you will suffer persecution 10 days. Now, and those were like days of emperors, 10 emperors, which were actually persecuting Christians.
Mm.
And the last of all was an emperor called Constantine in the year 312, around there. Now, what happened mostly is actually God did a miracle because he was sick. And it was because of all that, he had to change his mind. And when he changed his mind, and he actually allowed Christianity to now continue. But amazingly, all of his household got saved. So,
and actually,
from within.
Many members of the Senate and what?
Yes.
Of course, that also had its repercussions because people were getting saved.
Yes.
Politically.
Now.
So what I'm trying to say is this, that is also happening now. In this end time. Okay?
Yes.
Empires are going to be turned on their heads.
Yes.
Turned on their heads.
Mm.
And I want you to know that this is prophesied things.
Yes.
Therefore, it is not a matter of if. It is a matter of
when.
When. And we know the when is now.
Now, yes.
Because what's happening is that when people are dethroned, others are enthroned.
Yes.
So when you see devils and their whole, you know, dethronement and how somehow you can see that now they are almost shy speaking the things they used to speak boldly 2 years ago. You know that somebody has been dethroned. They have been dethroned. So every time there's a dethronement, there's an enthronement.
Yes.
Now God is enthroning the church.
Yes.
And I want as many people as will listen to us here and who can convince themselves that this is not speculation.
Yes.
Because God is now building that end time church which is going to be on top everywhere.
Mm.
On top everywhere and on top of everything.
Yes.
That's what he's building right now.
Mm.
And you are a part of it.
Yes.
So now everywhere across the world, there is a coming together of the forces of darkness and the forces of light.
Mm.
Some people might not have seen it, but it is so clear.
Very clear.
Very, very clear.
Mm.
And the forces of light, especially in some places,
yes,
are already walking in victory.
Yes.
And in some places, the battle is still raging.
Yes.
In other places, the forces of dark, depending on what the people really have that place have decided. I want you to know that whoever wins this battle is about what the children of God do in that place.
Yes.
When the children of God stand up and stand ground,
there
is nothing the forces of darkness can do, by the way. It's if they deceive the children of God and they deceive the leaders of the church and make them look like their best interests are in serving the what? The powers that be, then wickedness can prevail.
Yeah.
Mostly, and it has, even for the past part, it has prevailed because the leaders of the church went and were all subservient to demonic political powers.
Yes.
People who are demonic but pretending to, because they have, they know a few scriptures here and there and so on. And those demonic people know what they are doing.
Yes.
They know that as long as they can keep the church asleep, they will stay in power.
Yes.
But they know that if this church awakens,
yes,
they have absolutely no power over it.
Yes.
It will steamroll them.
Yes.
And it can do that anytime.
Yes.
So that's why they can kind of placate them.
Yes.
Yeah, they want to meet men of God. Yeah, the president wants to, and all that. Eh?
Yes.
And it's just a placating thing.
Yes.
But if the church knew the power it had, these people, because remember, Psalms 125 verse 3 says, "For the scepter of wickedness shall not rest on the land allotted to the righteous, lest the righteous reach out their hands to iniquity." Now, what God says, scepter, of course, is a symbol of authority. Of royal, regal authority.
Yes.
And it says, there is a scepter of wickedness. And it says, it shall not rest on the land allotted to the righteous.
Yes.
Now, when the righteous stand up and say, no, we cannot let the scepter of wickedness rest on our land.
Yes.
Now,
over.
The war is over.
Yes.
But you see, as long as they keep them, you know, in asleep.
Yes.
And we want to soothe them with some money here and there and so on. Then the wickedness will take over. Now, all over the world, every country, this is what is happening.
Yes.
For instance, we've been talking about America.
Yes.
The scepter of the wickedness, of course, is the scepter of what's happening in the current government.
Yes.
Joe Biden destroying the whole country so on.
Yeah,
you might say, yeah, me, I like him because of what, I don't like so and so. You're just a fool.
Yes.
If you're a Christian. If you're not a Christian, then it's okay, you can like him.
Yes.
But now, people see, you see a human being, and then you see another human being. And you think you have a choice of this one or the other one. No. One is the scepter of wickedness. The other one is a scepter of righteousness, of godliness.
Yes.
And you have to choose between the two of them.
Yes.
Now, the battle is raging on right now in America.
Very well.
Who is going to win? It depends on the church.
Yes.
If the church in America would stand up and know which side is of God and which side is of the enemy, and they know it conclusively.
Yes.
Not saying, yeah, you know, I'm a black. For us blacks, we vote like this.
Yes.
And, you know, and so on, where you try to bring in race and all other things.
Yes.
If you know where the scepter of wickedness is,
yes,
and you get there, and the church stands up united, then they would steamroll them over, regardless of how much energy they have, whether they are in charge of the CIA, of the FBI, and what. Every battle is spiritual.
Yes.
And the minute the people down on the ground decide, the children of God decide, especially in oneness, or at least in a certain amount of unity, that they want to get rid of this. The other side has no chance whatsoever. God will just come and blow them away like chaff. But he has to wait for the people.
Yes.
If the people are still being convinced that this is a natural thing.
Yeah.
This one, I like his policies on immigration. I like his policies on what? Yeah, but I don't like this.
Yeah.
And then the other one, I don't like his tweets. He's very angry in his tweets. You're just being a fool.
Yes.
This is a spiritual battle. All these are spiritual battles. It is the same in Israel.
Yes.
It is the same in Uganda.
Yes.
Okay? Where people, when it's convenient for them, they have Bibles.
Yes.
When it's not convenient for them, they are talking about virtuosi gods.
Yes.
And they somehow fool even pastors and so on. And they fool them.
Yes.
Like, and if these people just woke up, in a matter of days, everything would be on its ground. Of course, it's going to be whether they wake up or not.
Yes.
Some of them will be asleep until it happens. But it's going to happen.
Yes.
So all these battles you see all across.
Yes.
I saw even Kenya, the way there was a fight.
Yes.
And unfortunately, Kenya seems to be losing that so badly because the president they got, who everybody was confident about, seems to be going down the direction of the World Economic Forum and the New World Order and so on. That is very sad, although he puts on this veneer of being a Christian. And that's very, very sad. I know the policies there and so on. And sometimes you look at things and say, but Christians can really get themselves confused. Because there's no doubt the man is a Christian.
Yes.
But these people brought this thing where they are putting, marking babies who are being born on their skin, putting tattoos and what.
Yes.
And he let it pass.
Mm.
And of course, it was being pushed by those people who visited Kenya, King Charles and so on.
Yes.
And even a Muslim senator,
yes,
looked and said, but you guys, what I am a Muslim.
Yes.
And this president is supposed to be a Christian.
Mm.
But can't you see this is the mark of the beast? That even me, a Muslim, can see this is God the mark of the beast.
God speaking to a donkey.
Yeah. Says even now, and you mean he cannot see this. Now where the Christian is now the one who is lost. And everybody else is seeing you, they are fooling you.
Yes.
Anyhow. So all these battles are going on.
Mm.
And they are going on in Uganda.
Yes.
And
every country.
Every country.
Yes.
And the world is being shaped
for
God and for the devil.
Mm.
This is what we call the sheep and the goat nation.
Nations.
Some nations will go down the way of God, of the devil.
Mm.
And then those ones will suffer their punishment.
Mm.
And then others will go to the side of sheep.
Mm.
And then they will be blessed.
Blessed.
Yeah. Mm. And they will, you will see wealth, what minerals popping up and everything in countries which have chosen this direction.
Yes.
So now, what we are saying is,
it's
in time for the church to know the which side are you on.
Yes.
Okay?
Mm.
You can't say I'm on the side of God and then on the other side you choose somebody who is not on the side of God. You have to decide whether you're on the side of God or on the side of the devil.
Mm.
Okay?
Mm.
Yeah. Now, it's just that simple.
Mm.
If God is Lord, if the Lord is God, serve him.
Yes.
Choose this day.
Yes.
And now he will come in the form of people.
Yes. Mm. Now, actually, the thing is, it will actually, because all this reflects on our reward, which we will have in heaven. But that, for it to come, the reward part of it is not a problem. The problem is, how are we preparing ourselves for this? Like, to choose God and to know that it's about kingdom. It's not about, like what you've said, blacks or whites. It's about kingdom.
It's not about tribes. It's not about race.
Yes.
It's not about anything. It's about kingdom.
Yes. Mm. More or less to say, in the scripture, all of those things have been broken and it's now Christ.
Mm.
So it's about kingdom and how prepared or how can we prepare about this?
Mm.
We should prepare ourselves for standing for the kingdom, because actually those are some of the things which will actually take you boldness, because it will look unpopular to the eyes of a few, but God would want you to stand bold and stick to that very thing which he wants you to.
Like he did with Daniel, because remember that Daniel did not start when he was advising two kings of Media and Persia, after he had been a major advisor of Nebuchadnezzar.
Mm.
And Nebuchadnezzar even fell flat in front of him and so on.
Mm.
It doesn't start like that.
Mm.
People would want it to start like that, but it never does.
Yes.
It starts with, I'm not going to eat the king's delicacies.
Yes.
For me, you give me vegetables and water. Then it starts with him choosing to stick to the knowledge which he knew of Jehovah. Even if, of course, he was learning also the language of the Chaldeans. And then it grows. Yeah, he can interpret dreams. So God makes it necessary. God creates a scenario where the skill that is necessary is a skill of interpreting dreams. Because he knows he's trying to elevate that.
He creates a problem which can elevate you.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
So then it goes. Mm. At the end of the day, somebody is on top now.
Yes.
That's how it is going to be. When you start standing
on
what you know is of God.
Yes.
Don't seek for popularity. God never called us here to be popular.
Yes.
Mm. Mm. He actually said the world will hate you for my name's sake.
Mm.
So you don't seek for popularity.
Mm.
But then he also said, when a man pleases God, he will make even his enemies be at peace with him.
Yes. Mm.
So, but you have to start with, you know, this is about God and so on.
Mm.
So the truth, the reality is that the church has to know that everything you do, every single thing you do, is pointing towards raising God's end time army. Everything you do.
Mm.
There is not a single thing you do that is what is that you're supposed to be doing.
In this time
that is just for yourself.
Yes.
And I'm not even talking about preaching the gospel or what. I'm talking even about your business, your saloon, your what. You have to see where you fit in God's end time plan and convince yourself that this saloon of mine is a part of God's end time plan. Because it is.
Mm.
Because you are.
Yes.
Okay?
If it wasn't so, God wouldn't have brought you here in this current time.
Mm.
I remember there's a story which you gave us that God could have chosen to bring us because all the souls and spirits which he created, he had to just unleash them at the time he wanted them to be there. Like the way the scripture speaks about athletes, that you unleash the best athletes at the last. So all the souls, we could have, some people could have been born 10 years ago, 20 years, or even 100 years ago. But right now, because it is time for the end time church, and it's the time for the best people, he has chosen us to be players in these last days. So that's why everything we are supposed to do, as we have to have at the back of our mind, that we are the best players of this end time, and everything we are doing has to be fulfilling his peace or his agenda of this end time.
Now imagine what, let's say, because you see, when God is building an army for this end time, he's not building an army of preachers.
Yes.
No, he's building an army of businessmen, of accountants, of evangelists, of lawyers, of doctors, of everything. And everywhere, you see.
Yes.
And when those people know that they are part of God's end time army, their attitude changes.
Yes.
Because when I conclusively learned and knew that I am not just having some sort of ambition to have a good life and do that and all this, but it's all part of a grand scheme of God. And I am in a part of that puzzle. He's building a puzzle, you know, like the way you build these puzzles. Now, I'm a piece in that puzzle, and every one of us is a piece in that puzzle. And all of us are important in that puzzle. Because if you are building a puzzle, you know these puzzles, which they would get an animal, for instance, and cut it in pieces. And you're supposed to build, put back pieces until you get the picture of the animal. Any one misplaced piece, the puzzle is not complete. And now God is building his puzzle, and it is going to be complete. And you are a part of that puzzle, and you have a role to play in it. So you might have a role in whatever area you are. So you might be a businessman, you might, whatever it is. Or even a pastor, an evangelist, and so on. And if you know that this works conclusively towards building a crescendo, and we are part of one kingdom, so many things would go away. For instance, all the infighting among men of God and so on. Like, what kind of, imagine if there was a team where two people are fighting. Because you see, in this kingdom of ours, just like it is, let's say, in football, one player scores, the whole team runs to go and celebrate with him. Because it's for the team. But you see, this kingdom of God, we are in the process of being built.
But
I'm not so sure everybody would run. Some people, somebody scores, then somebody says, I should have been the one scoring. But somebody, if you are the one scoring, there will be other people who didn't score. So somehow one person has to score. And then it's for the whole team. Now, if we actually really, really understood that, all the gifts we have are for one team. Everything, we are on the same team. And now that team is being conclusively redefined. When somebody prospers, the whole team prospers with him. When somebody goes down, the whole team goes down with him. Okay? When somebody gets injured in the pitch, the whole team is hurt. Now, this sounds very elementary when we are looking at it in from the perspective of, let's say, outside things like football or like, you know, in a company and so on. But when it comes to the church, that's not how people think. Everyone wants to be the only one God uses. Like, how can... so you think the plan of God is going to be reduced to you, one person? There is going to be other people. And now if you're mature enough, you know that I am in this team, but also God has an evangelist here, God has a what? God has an accountant here. God has a person in finance here who is going to, you know, lift up finances, and so on and so forth. So then people get to a level of maturity. But the reason they don't get there is they don't understand this is an end time army being built. Now, when David was building, and we'll talk more about this perhaps in that time, when David was building his end time army at Hebron, the scripture says that they were the sons of different people. Some were good at skilled warfare. Some were archers. And a tribe comes and for them they are very good archers, very, very skilled. They can shoot an arrow on somebody's head from a distance. Then others come and they are good at battle formation. The scripture says that. Others come when they are good at shield and spear. Okay? Then it
others
says...
Others were cooks.
Then it also says the sons of Issachar, who had understanding of the times, to know what Israel ought to do. And the chiefs were 200 And their brethren were at their command.
Yes.
So there are some who are just good at what's the best time.
Time.
Yeah. Mm. What do we do now? First wait. Should we attack now? No.
Mm.
Don't attack.
Mm.
And that's their work.
Yes.
Okay, now attack.
Yes.
Then there were those who were cooks.
Yes.
There were those who were skilled at making, spears
yes.
and so on.
Yes.
And they were all one army.
Mm.
And it says, the Bible scripture says, and it was a great army. Like the army of God.
The Lord.
Yes. Now, and also says somewhere, that they came to turn the kingdom away from Saul to David.
Yes.
Eh? According to the word of the Lord. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Eh?
Mm.
And it says, for at that time they came to David day by day to help him until it was a great army, like the army of God.
Mm.
Now, a great army of a kingdom.
Mm.
Now the kingdom, let's say Saul represents this passing kingdom,
yes.
which is not of God, and God is introducing another one.
Mm.
Then it says in verse 23 of 1 Chronicles chapter 12, now these were the numbers of the divisions that were equipped for war and came to David at Hebron to turn over the kingdom
of Saul
over to David,
yes.
according to the word of God.
Yes.
Okay? Mm. Now, there is an army which is turning over the kingdom from darkness to light.
Yes.
And you are a part of that army.
Mm.
You are a part of that army, so do not fool yourself that you're fighting alone.
Yes.
You're not fighting alone.
Yes.
You are part of a great army.
Yes.
And when you know that, it will encourage you.
Amen.
You know even Micah business here fits into the great plan of God.
Yes.
Because there will be businessmen who are called to do that.
Yes.
And that's how we are going to actually turn over this kingdom from darkness to light.
Yes.
And the kingdom can be anything.
Yes.
It can be a country, it can be the whole world, it can be anything.
Yes.
So I don't know if you've understood what I'm saying, but I have to end here because we've run out of time. But Kenna will give us the last word.
My last word to you is let this word sink in deep in you and think about them, meditate about them, and know that you are part of a great end time army which God is building for this time. Amen.
Thank you very much.
Amen.
God bless you all. Have yourselves a wonderful evening.
That was The Watchman. Tune in next week. To connect to the anointing upon The Watchman, you can give through the ministry mobile money lines, that is +256 780 292 555 or +256 755 292 555. Follow us on our Facebook page, The Watchman, on Twitter at UG Watchman, Instagram at @_UG Watchman, on TikTok at The Watchman Ministries, and on YouTube, Ugandan Watchman. Or send us an email using info@ugwatchman.com. For more information on previous messages, how to give, The Watchman magazine, books by The Watchman and more, visit our website at ugwatchman.com. The Watchman, the King is coming.